Well, God bless you in the name of Jesus Christ, and welcome to another fellowship. And it's really great to see everyone. And welcome Jason and Lee and Steve again. And it's just great to see your faces and your wonderful hearts. And God is really at work in all of our lives. And when we go to Him, you know, great things are going to happen. And God wants us to expect from Him. He really wants you to go to Him with whatever's burdening you, whatever problems you have, you can take them to God. And you can give those problems to God. If God is saying, look, you don't have to take the care of that problem, I can take care of it for you. And like I was sharing with Steve before, really, you know, any believer's job is to connect people to God, that people can go directly to God and that they can cast their cares to God. If you've got one problem, you can take that one problem to God. If you've got a million problems, you can take that million problems to God. And then you just leave it with God and you expect Him to go to work. And there will be challenges in this life. And that's why, you know, we are more than super conquerors. The Bible says that greater is He that's in us than He that's in this world. But I want you to go to 1 Peter chapter 5. It's just a great record, and I just want to remind ourselves just of the promises of God. And also, God really does want us to have a successful journey through life. And it says in 3 John 2, it says, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health even as our soul prospers. So we know it's the heart and will of God for us to prosper, even as our soul prospering. Okay, so this word prosper literally means to have a successful journey through life. And we can, and the journey is dependent upon the choices you also make. So we can either do things in our strength and our ability, or we can take the promises and what God says, and we can claim those promises. And in 1 Peter chapter 5, we're reading from verse 5. It says, Likewise, you younger, submit yourself unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility as a humble heart. For God resists the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. And so to be proud is that you've got all the answers, you've got all the solutions to all the problems, that you know everything. That's being proud. And also being proud is that you could be stubborn, in that you're not going to receive anything that can really help you. And God says, you know, the first thing we need to do is to be humble, that we're to have that humility of heart. And verse 6 says, Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt or lift you in due time, casting all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. See, God cares about you. He cares about every detail and every area of your life. And He will meet those needs as we go to Him, as we go to Him with a humble heart, knowing that He has the answers, He has the directions, He has the solutions. We humbly go to Him and we give the problem to Him. In other words, if you think about casting, when you've got a fishing rod, what do? You throw it away from you. And God is saying, get your problems and throw them to Me. And He says, leave them with Me. He wants you to leave whatever's going on in your life, the problems that you're giving to Him. When you've prayed it, don't take it back. But then this is where our confession comes in, when we start claiming those promises of God, and we know that, Father, You said if I cast my cares to You, You'll take care of me. So every time that problem comes up, you remind yourself of what the Word of God says, that'll help you to keep focused, and that'll help your faith to stand strong, right? So if you've got problems, whatever they are, whether they're small or big, God wants you to give them to Him. And in verse 8 it says, Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. See, Satan is the god of this world. If you think of a lion, it will pick the weak one in the crowd, right? It'll look for a weakness in the animal, and it'll target that weak one. And he's walking about seeking whom he can devour. Who's weak? Who's not believing? Oh, who's got problems here? Who's not looking to God? And that's what he does. He targets people that are not focused, right? And that's why we have to be humble. People that are also proud and think they got it all together. You know what I mean? So that's why we have to stay humble. And that's why if you've got any problems or cares, you take them to God. And it says, so he walks about as a roaring lion. So a lion roars. And when it roars, what does it do? It freezes the prey. And so then he can pounce on it, right? Seeking whom he may devour. So when the adversary is roaring in your life, when something comes up, there's two ways you can go. You can either flight, run off, or you can fight. right? If you've got a victim mentality, oh, it always happens to me, nothing goes right with me, that's a victim mentality, you're going to always be defeated in life. But God wants us to be victorious mindset. In other words, it's not that we're victorious in our own ability or strength, but when we're looking to what God's word says, and when we're saying what God says, and when we look to God, then we know we're going to be victorious no matter what's raging or roaring at us. And so sometimes things will come up in your life and it frees you right where you are, like the debt collectors. You get a letter from the debt collector. If you don't pay this bill, we're coming to take your stuff away. You've got a certain amount of days to pay it. That could be a roar of a lion for you. You may not have a lot of money. You may not be in a position to pay your bills. And then what it does is it puts you in a mindset of fear. And we got to remember, it says in 2 Timothy 1:7, it says in God's word, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind." So I'm just using that thing as an example that's how the adversary can roar, right? So what do we do when that happens? The first thing we should do is say, "Father, I thank you that this debt's paid in the name of Jesus Christ. I thank you that you have supplied my need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Or if you've got something wrong with you, you know, we can start to worry and feel, I got a headache, I got an earache, I got an eye ache, or I got a leg ache, or whatever. Or the doctor's diagnosed you with something. That can be a roar of a lion in your life. And we can succumb to that roar and the fear of that false evidence appearing real. It may be a fact that there is something wrong with you, but we know the word of God says that by his stripes we were healed. So that's why being humble is submitting to God in our situations, the things that have come up, but knowing what his word says. We need to know what his word says. See, we are spirit filled. We got the spirit of God in us, but we also need to be word filled. We need to know what God's word says. And when you put those two together, the spirit and the word together, you're an unstoppable force. And the adversary really doesn't want you to know what type of authority you've got. He doesn't want you to realize how powerful you actually are, that God has made you powerful because he's given you his spirit, he's given you his word, he's given you authority. We have authority as believers. And when you start to recognize your authority and start to operate in your authority by saying what God says, by coming against those situations and bringing in the answer rather than the problem, and saying what God says about it, the answer is what God says about it, and we don't focus on the problem, then you start to overcome challenges that are being presented to you. We've got to have the right mindset, and we've got to realize that there is authority in the word of God, and that authority has been given to us. We have the word of reconciliation and the ministry of reconciliation. We also have the Spirit of God. We also have authority as believers. Like Jesus Christ has authority and had authority when he walked the earth, we have that same God-given authority. And we're going to see this through the Word. I just really want to bring these up because there are challenges that are coming up for different people. And if you haven't been challenged there, then you will be challenged. Because when you take a stand on God's Word, the adversary, you know, he'll try and resist that in your life. He doesn't want you to realize who you truly are in Christ, what you truly have, and the authority you've been given. Right? He wants to rob you of your power. Like he robbed Adam and Eve of their power in the garden, he wants to rob you. So when we become knowledgeable of what God says about who we are, what we have and how to use our authority, then we can start applying ourselves. It's just like a boxer, you know, someone that goes to boxing for the first time, they don't know everything. They got to be trained. They train themselves, right? They exercise daily, they go through different practices, and to the point that they get into the ring and start applying what they've been learning. And through continual practice and continual training, they become better and better and better. And they keep their focus on that, so they want to be the best, right? And then you can come to the point where you're a world champion. Well, God has already made you a world champion, right? A word champion, right? You are successful, you are prosperous, you are blessed. Now you might think, well, I haven't got that manifested in my life yet. But that's the point. The point is, you are what God says you are, not what your circumstances say you are. And when we come into agreement of who God sees us as, and we start to recognize this, then we can start to manifest what God made available to us. So this is why I've been teaching on the confession. We need to start saying what God says rather than what we're seeing, what we experience, what our emotions are telling us. And so then we can start walking in victory. So it says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith." knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So the adversary likes to isolate people so he can control them. And when you're going through a situation or a problem, you think to yourself, well, I'm the only one going through this. No one knows what I'm experiencing. You know, they may not be experiencing the exact same thing, but they're probably going through other pressures and other problems. We've got to remember that if I'm being touched, then someone else is being touched. If I'm being attacked, then other people are being attacked. But in verse 10 it says, but the God of all grace. Now, grace is God's favour. In other words, God is going to do the work for us when we believe and when we trust him. Who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, that after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. See, you know, we may be going through a turbulent time, or you may be going through a turbulent time right now, but as you stick to the promises of God, as you stick to what God says, as you keep saying what God says in your situation, you're going to be strengthened, okay? You're going to, you know, it's like learning to take the blows when you're boxing. You know, you take a shot and it hurts you, but the more you keep practicing, the more you learn to weave and duck and get out of the shots, or to take the punch, or to ride with the punches, you're going to become stronger through what you've gone through. Not that God's putting you through that, but it's the adversary that's trying to attack you. But as you learn to stand upon the word, and you train yourself with meditating upon the word, you train yourself with saying what God says and coming into agreement with God rather than what's going on, then you'll start to see God really go to work in your life. So when another attack comes up, you know what to do. You'll be ready, right? So God wants us to be prepared. He's already made us ready. We are able, but it's just making ourselves aware of these things and knowing what God says and keeping ourselves established with these things. In 1 John chapter 4 is another great record. And I just want to remind you just how powerful you truly are. And even if you don't know a lot of the Word of God, you have the Spirit of God in you, okay? And you can really overcome every situation with God. But the more you know, the more you're knowledgeable about what God says, the more your effectiveness will be. And not only will you help yourself, but then you'll come into a position where you can help and encourage other people. And no one is immune to attacks of the adversary. Just because you're a believer doesn't say you're immune to the things of this world. We live in this world, okay? And God wants us to live above this world. And the way we live above this world is through our faith in what God is saying and what God says we are. Can you see? So that's the difference. So 1 John chapter 4, it says, you are of God. If you're born again of God's Spirit, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. So let's have a look at this verse. It says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Who? The devil. The devil spirits, the principalities, the authorities, the unbelieving world, you have overcome them. God already sees you as an overcomer. He knows you're going to be challenged at times, but he already sees you as victorious. When we get into line of how God sees us and agree with God, then we see ourselves victorious. When you're in a problem, you will see the light at the end of the tunnel. You'll see the end result. And instead of praying the problem, God says you pray the solution. You already prayed the answer. See, God goes to work on the answer. He doesn't need you to really tell him the problem. That's for your benefit, to get it off your chest. But when we go to God, we say, Father, your word says that you shall supply all my needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I thank you that this debt is already covered. This debt's already paid, right? If it's in the realms of finances. I thank you that Jesus Christ has already paid my debt for my healing, for my health, for my sound mind. We incorporate the word in our daily living, in our life, and in our application. It's okay having knowledge. We need knowledge of what God is saying. But it's the application of that knowledge is where the power is released. And it's released through words, and it's released through our acting upon the word. See, when you act upon the word, it's going to bring results for you. If you don't act upon the word, you're not going to get the results. And you think, well, this don't work. I've been going to fellowship and I'm not seeing anything. Have you been actually making the word your own? Have you been applying it? Have you been going to God? And God is a living God, and you can have a living relationship with him. And that's why prayer is simply talking to God. And we don't have to go to God just for our problems. We can go to God and thank him for all the great things that he's doing in our life and for what he's done through Christ. We can ask God for direction. How would he have us move for him? How can we be a blessing? How can we serve? What would you have me do today, Lord? Rather than, God, what can you do for me today? See, we want to get to a point where we're asking God what he wants us to do, not asking God to do something for us, right? But when we get to that point, God is already doing the things for us. Can you see? Because our focus is on him. Like in Matthew 6:33, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. All the things are, like, you know, how am I going to eat? What clothes am I going to wear? All those needs that you have in this life, when you put God first, he says, you put me first, I'll take care of these needs. So it's just really powerful. The word of God is just so powerful, and God is so powerful. But let me tell you something. You are also very powerful. And when you know who you are, and when you know your authority, you are a danger to the devil. And that's why he doesn't want you to rise up from where you are. He doesn't want you equipped with the knowledge of who you are in Christ, what authority that you actually have. And see, authority is dependent upon the one that's authorized you. Who's given us authority? God, through Christ, has given us great authority. So when you exercise that authority, God is behind that authority. And Jesus Christ is behind that authority. And it says, at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Every problem, every person, every situation, every devil spirit of hell has to bow to the name of Jesus Christ. Devils know there's one God, it says in James, and they tremble. And when they know that you know who you are, they tremble. Devil spirits know if you know who you are in Christ. And that's why we need to find out from God's word what was actually accomplished for us. What is our authority? What is my rights as a believer today? What's my jurisdiction? So, you know, a police force can't operate outside of their jurisdiction, okay? They have to get in contact with the next state or county that they're going into, because they come out of their, like, if we're in the county of Avon, you've got another county, the London Borough County. The authorities in Avon can't operate in the London Borough, right? They have to get permission. You see what I'm saying? So what's your authority? What's your jurisdiction? The adversary has certain jurisdiction, but if you don't know his limits, then he can override his limits. Legally, when we know who we are in Christ, what we have, and what limits the adversary's got, then he can't really operate, because we take a stand on what is rightfully ours. He may try to operate against, but when you take a stand on the word of God, when you know who you are in Christ and you use that authority through your words and through your actions, you'll back him off. Even if the attacks are coming on you, it says in James that we resist the devil. Okay, we humble ourselves before God, we resist the devil, and he shall flee from you. Sometimes you might have to resist for a while, you might have to go through something for a while, but it doesn't mean say you have to go for it defeated. You can go for it with a victorious mindset, because you already know the end result, right? Because you're basing your faith on the promises of God, not on your circumstances or your ability, but on God's ability. So God says, greater is he that's in you than he that is in this world. So you are overcomers. You are more than victorious. And you've got to start seeing yourself that way. It says in Proverbs, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. How you think about yourself, how you perceive yourself on the inside, will show up on the outside. If you're someone that lacks confidence, that's going to show out in your personality. It's going to show out in your decisions and in the words that you're saying. But if you're confident, it's going to show out. Like we see these boxers. You know, I'm going to win in this round. I'm going to knock them out. And, you know, I've trained. I'm the best. They're saying it. But whether they believe it in their heart is a different thing. Yeah. Because what you say with your mouth, you've got to believe it in your heart. It's got to be lined up. Yeah. So if you're quoting scripture and you're not really believing it, it's not going to work for you. You're just mouthing it. But you've got to believe in your heart. Jesus Christ says, whoever says unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe the things which he says, he shall have whatsoever he saith. So you can say something, but if you don't believe in your heart, it ain't lined up. So we need to get that word of faith deep in our heart, and we do that by saying the word to ourselves. When situations come up, we just say what God says. Like Joshua 1:8. He said, this word shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate. So it looked like God said, you're not even going to say the word. But the word meditate means to mutter, to murmur. In other words, God was saying to Joshua, you say this word to yourself. Because when you say it, faith is coming to you. When we say the word to ourselves, our faith is going to be built. Because it says faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. So we say what God says. No, God says, I can do all things through Christ. If you're challenged with something and you think, I can't do this, you say, no, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. In other words, the strength is coming from God, not from you. See, Paul says, you know, when he's weak, then he's strong. In other words, when he's weak in himself, he's strong in God. God's power goes to work. When we're submitted to God, we know in our own strength and effort, we can't do something about the situation. But when we're strong in God, then great things happen. It's just really powerful stuff, isn't it? 2 Corinthians chapter 10. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, it says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. So though we're in the senses, we live in this senses world, to fight a spiritual battle, you need spiritual means, right? For the weapons of our warfare, see, there's a spiritual warfare going on, right? Just because you can't see it doesn't mean to say it's not happening and it's not there, but it's there. And if we're walking by the Spirit of God and if we're looking to God, then we are aware that it's there. Not that we focus on that, but we're aware when something is going on in our lives or in someone else's life, we know where the warfare is coming from. It says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they're not five senses, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So an adversary could have a stronghold in your life, and the way that you're going to break that stronghold is with the word and the power of God and the authority that God's given you. So we have authority, and we have to know that we got authority. If a policeman doesn't know he has an authority, he's never going to arrest anyone, right? He's just going to go through life letting everybody do what they want to do. But we got authority, and the authority behind that policeman is the law of the land, the courts, right? The authority behind the believer is God and Jesus Christ and all the angels of heaven. We have that authority. So it says, for the weapons of our warfare are not five senses, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down. So it starts in the mind right here. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. You're poor, you're sick. No, that's going against the knowledge of God for a believer. You're healed, you're blessed, you're successful, you're prospering. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. See, the arena for the believer, now you've got an arena where the boxers fight, our arena is the mind. So the adversary wants to get your mind. God wants you to put his word in your mind so that you can combat everything that the adversary is trying to throw into the arena against you. So when a thought comes, I'm never going to make it. No, I'm an overcomer. Oh, I'm sick. No, I am healed. I am poor. No, I am rich because Christ has made me rich. I am supplied. God has met all of my needs. When you're having a battle in your mind, you need to bring and say from your heart the word you put in there. You need to say what God says. And that is how your faith is released. Also, you can act upon the word of God in a situation. You can either act in fear or you can act in faith, knowing that God is with you and he's backing you up, knowing that you have authority and that you can only win in the situation, not lose. You've got to have a mind focus. And Isaiah 26:3 says, thou, God, will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, God, because he trusteth in thee. When you're trusting in God, you're going to be trusting his word to you. When we trust God, we're going to be trusting his word to us. We get that promise of the word and we stake our life on it. And we know that God is at work. And then so that negative thought that's coming in, that attack from the adversary that's coming in, whatever avenue it's coming from, we pull it down by putting the word there. Attack from the enemy doesn't become a stronghold in your life. Like Lee, you thought that all the things that happened in your life was your fault, but now you realise it's not. It was a trick from the adversary. If you buy the lie of the enemy, then he can start to steal, kill and destroy. We know in John 10:10 it says, Jesus Christ said, I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. It's dependent upon your relationship with God and your relationship and understanding of his word, and you using that authority, the abundant life starts to flow. But the first part of that verse in John 10, it says, the thief cometh not but to steal, kill and destroy. That's all he's interested in. He wants to keep you blind. He wants to keep you ignorant. and he wants to keep you in the dark. But God has given you his word, which is light, which shines upon the darkness, which exposes what's behind it. And all light dispels darkness. The entrance of God's word brings light. So that's why we're to say the word. So we cast down every imagination, every fear, worry, doubt. We cast it down by bringing in the word of God, by getting that word in our heart, and then by saying it out of our mouth, and also taking the corresponding actions that we need to take in a situation. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. Because once we know what God has done in Christ, see, it's by his blood that we have this authority and power. Because he shed his blood for us, he was our perfect sacrifice. His blood paid for your sin, didn't just cover it, paid for it once and for all. Okay, his stripes that he received was for your sicknesses, so that you could be healed now. So we don't accept anything less than what God's word says. No, we are healed. We are healthy. We are forgiven. There's no condemnation. You're not under the condemnation of lack, poverty, sin, death, sickness. Jesus Christ paid for it. And when we understand that and start saying what God says, then we start to reap the blessings of those things that Jesus Christ accomplished. But it's up to you. You know, it says in Revelations that they overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. So we got to say what God says. So we say what, we give the testimony of the word of God rather than the testimony of what we're seeing and experiencing. And so that's how we overcome. Okay, and we are already victorious. God already sees you victorious, walking in victory, walking in power and authority. He sees you that way. How do you see yourself? And when you get the image of the word in your heart by reading the word, by saying the word to yourself, by building that up in you, then the image of the word will become stronger than the image of the world through your own man nature that's been built in there since you were born, see? So in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15, if we go there, verse 15 says, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith, your believing in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. This is a prayer of Apostle Paul, right? And we can learn quite a lot from it. And he says, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, Jesus Christ, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. God wants you to know the hope of the calling upon your life, right? And what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. See, you have an inheritance. The Bible says in Romans 8 that we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We have an inheritance. And we can walk in that inheritance now. We don't have to wait till we die. We have the inheritance now. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he, God, wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him down at his own right hand in the heavenly places, right? So Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, and right now he's not dead. He's at the right-hand side of God. He's at the right-hand side. The right-hand side is the authority, is the power of God. He's at the right-hand side of God. Far above all principality. And this word principality is rule and power. And this word power is authority. So you can read it like this. Far above all the rule and authority and might. That's the potential power and dominion or lordship. And every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which to come. So, Jesus Christ, he is far above all the rule and authority and the potential power and the lordship of the God of this world. He's above it. He is above the adversary, his devil spirits, and the rulers of this world. He is above it. And it says, and have, God have put all things under his feet, and gave him, Jesus Christ, to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Listen, Jesus Christ has all rule, authority and power. He's the head. Okay, but we're the body. We're the ones that are to carry this out. My head cannot pick up that cup, but my head can direct my hand to pick up the cup. See, if we're going to operate in the authority and the power, it's the body of Christ that's going to have to walk in it, realizing what Christ has accomplished. He's got all rule, authority and power. Do you know what? All that rule, authority, power over the adversary kingdom, you know who's given it to? Us. We got to realize who we are. We got to realize the authority we have. And when we start to realize it, when a situation comes against you, don't let it dictate you. You know where it comes from and you tell it where to go. You command, right, this ain't going to overtake my life. I have authority over this situation. I know what the Word of God says. And I'm going to say what the Word of God says. And I'm going to take my authority. And I'm going to use my authority. It's like when people pray for people that are ill. They go to them, we're praying for you, brother. No, that's not using your authority. That's praying. Now, we can pray for people. Nothing wrong with that. But mainstream Christianity teaches that you pray for people and they get healed. We are to command the healing. We're to use our authority. And we use it with our words. So if you've got something wrong with your knee, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to be made whole right now. You obey me. It has to obey you. If you're doing it in the name of Jesus Christ with understanding, you understand who you are, and you're using that authority, it will obey you. It has to. Everything has to submit to that name of Jesus Christ and that authority. And when you know who you are, it will obey you. It will definitely obey you. I've seen it happen when I've ministered. And you can, your faith will inspire faith in other people. So we really have to grab hold of who we truly are. We don't let life dictate to us. But we bring in the promises of God and we start dictating to life. In the sense that we don't let the problems overwhelm us and crowd us out. And we've got to remember, when there's confusion, where does that confusion come from? We know God's God of peace. Confusion, I don't accept you. Get out right now in the name of Jesus Christ. We need to have some boldness. And we need to start saying what God says, regardless of who's in front of you. Whether it's the Pope, the most knowledgeable person in the world. We need to know what the Word of God says. And when you know what the Word of God, you just take a stand on it. God's going to back you up. That's the authority you've got. When you use that authority, God says, look, there's my son, there's my daughter. They're using my authority. I'm there right behind them. I agree with what they're saying. This is done. But we got to use the authority. Jesus ain't going to do it. You got to do it. He's giving you the authority. Can you see? It's just really powerful stuff. And it says, and I've put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Verse 23, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Chapter 2 of Ephesians, verse 1. And you, put your name there, and you have he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin. So we were spiritually dead before we got born again. It says, where in times past you walked according to the courses of this world. We just lived up like everybody else did, as unbelievers. According to the prince of the power of the air. Who's the prince of the power of the air? Satan. No. When someone has an argument and they get together, let's clear the air. Right? The prince of the power of the air is Satan. And he's going to and fro. Right, okay, who can we upset today? But when he comes across a believer, oh, I'm better not touch them. They know who they are in Christ. They know their authority. He'll try it on you to see if you do know your authority. Right? And he always gets kicked out when you take a stand upon the word. Where in times past you walked according to the courses of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit, that spirit, see, it's a spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Who are the children of disobedience? The unbelievers, the ones that haven't accepted Christ as their saviour. Verse 3, among whom also we all had our conversation. That word conversation can be behaviour. In times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as of others. That's how we were before we got born again. It says in verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin. He loved us even in that state, in that fallen state, hath quickened us together with Christ. When we confess Jesus Christ our Lord and believe God raised up together, we were quickened together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and have raised us up together, and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So when God sat Jesus Christ at the right hand side, He also set us. We are, that's our position of authority. We are set in Christ at the right-hand side of God. Right? So when Christ was buried, we were buried. When Christ was risen, we were risen. This is how God sees it, right? And this is how we're to see it. And when Christ was seated, we were also seated. We have that authority. It's been delegated to the church. It's been delegated to individuals. And we're the ones that have to use that authority. We can't sit around praying all day, God, take care of this for me, God, take care of that for me. We go to God, Father, I thank you that you've already taken care of this in Christ. I know what you say in your word, and I take that legal binding word, and I'm using it right now. And then God goes to work with that word, because you're staking the claim on what's already yours. You're using that authority, and you have heaven backing you up. But God, who is rich in mercy for great love where he loved us, even when we're dead in sin, that quickened us together with Christ, by grace you are saved, and has risen us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The devil cannot hold in bondage a believer that is aware that he is seated in Christ. The devil can't keep you in bondage. If you know you're seated in Christ, he cannot keep you in bondage. As believers, we need to always be aware that we are seated with Christ in the heavenly places, and that the devil is a defeated foe under our feet. That's where he belongs, under your feet. As believers, we must be convinced that no word of the enemy can prevail against us when we're doing and carrying out our ministry of reconciliation. The devil is under your feet. And when you take a stand upon that word, then he gets his neck crushed by Christ. Okay, he can't operate against you. He's like a little snake that can't wriggle away. Because he's already defeated. What he's done, he's already been defeated by Christ. And how we operate over him is by knowing who we are, recognizing what Christ accomplished, recognizing that the authority has been taken back from the God of this world, even though he's still at operation. And it's us now that operates in that authority. Instead of sitting around praying all day that God's going to do something, he says, look, I've given you everything, you start doing it. Start saying my words, start commanding, start walking and being who you truly are. Right? God sees you like you're Jesus Christ. You're not Jesus Christ, but he sees you like you are Christ. And this is how we got to start seeing ourselves. What image do you carry of yourself? The image of that you carry of yourself with clearness of concern is what you're going to be receiving. If you see yourself as defeated, never getting through life, just barely making it, that's what you're going to project. That's what's going to be manifested. But if you see yourself as healing the sick, raising the dead, cleansing the lepers, walking in authority, when you start getting that image in you, because you've built the word in you, you're building that relationship with God, that's what's going to start to manifest for you. So gone are the days where we bow in defeat to the pressures that raise our ugly head against us. And the pressures do come, let me tell you. We don't want to be pressed out of measure, right? The adversary try and press you out of measure. But when we know and trust in God, then we're not going to be pressed out of measure. Let's go to Colossians 2:13. And it's just really, these are just really wonderful records. So Christ is seated at the right hand side of God over all the rule and authority of the adversary, right? And we're also seated in Christ. We have the same authority has been given to us. And so the adversary will only take advantage of you where you're ignorant. And it says that we're not to be ignorant of Satan's devices, how he operates, how he moves, how he maneuvers. Colossians 2:13 says, and you being dead in your sin and the uncircumcision of your flesh, this is how we were in our fallen state before we got born again, have he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, you know, the sins. You've been forgiven everything that you've done wrong, right? It's been forgiven. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinance that was against us, which was contrary to us, and taking it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. Christ paid for everything that we've done wrong, for the world's sins, everything. He's paid for it. And when we accept him, then we can move in that freedom. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. He triumphed over those devil spirits. When he was raised, he went and preached to the spirits in prison that were trapped up in the prison, saying, look, I got the keys to death and hell. That's it, you're fried. you're defeated. Devil doesn't want you to know this. He doesn't want you to come to the Word of God. He wants you to think all the wrong things. This is a, you know, just to keep you in your place. It's just the Word of God is for weak people. No. Because everyone in the world is going to get challenged somewhere in their life. And if they haven't got Christ as their rock, and they haven't got that Word in their heart, you're going to be defeated. But God wants you to live in victory. That's why He's given us the Word, so that we can know these things, we can understand it and appropriate it to ourselves. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. In Ephesians 6, 10 it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." God doesn't want you to be strong in your own ability, your own wisdom, your own cleverness, what you think. He wants you to be strong in Him by going to Him, relying on Him, trusting on Him, leaning not onto your own understanding, and in the power of His might, not in your ability, but in His ability. "Put on the whole armour of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." That word wiles is methods. He has a method, he has ways that he moves. And we know that the secrecy of his success is the secrecy of his moves, how he moves. He does it by stealth. He steals, kills and destroys. Verse 12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against" what? "Principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." We already read in Ephesians 1 that Jesus Christ is above all them, and he's seated at the right hand side of God. We already read that we are also seated with him, so we're above all these things as well when we operate in the principles of God. "Wherefore take unto you the whole armour of God." In other words, God says, look, I've given you a kit that you can put on that's going to help you be protected in this world, and it's a spiritual kit that you need to put on, "that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." So in a situation that you're faced with, you may have done everything that you understand to do according to the Word of God, according as God's worked in your heart, and it still might, the battle still might be raging, but you just stand. You don't move from what you know, what you don't move from your confession. You keep saying what God says, okay, and the victory's going to come. The battle's not yours, it's the Lord's. He's already won it for you, alright? So we just need to stay in the promises of God and what He's saying to us. Verse 14, it says, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness." So your loins is that area of your body that if your loins are out of joint, you can't stand. Figuratively, it's the mind, the loins of your mind. And God says the loins of your mind needs to be the word, having the word of truth there, which sets you free. So when you've got the word in mind and it's in your mouth, that's how you stand, right? "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth," having your mind filled with the truth of the word, "and having on the breastplate of righteousness." The breastplate covered the heart, so no arrows could get to it, right? The breastplate represents the heart. The heart represents where your thoughts come from. And God says, have on that breastplate of righteousness, who you are with Christ, your right standing before God. This is who I am. I am righteous. I am justified. I am sanctified. I am redeemed. I have the ministry of reconciliation. I live above the world. I am an overcomer. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in this world. I have a spirit of God, not a spirit of fear. So you take that on and you say that and you get it in your heart, so you know that's going to protect your heart. So when the fiery darts come, or arrows, tries to aim for your heart, your mind, devil wants to sift you as wheat. Where? In the mind. When you've got the word of truth on there, your mind is protected, just like that breastplate would protect the heart. "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." See? You got the Spirit of God, but you need the Word of God. You need that Word in your heart. You need it in your mouth. And we need to say what God says. And then verse 18, praying. See, prayer, talking with God. "Always with all prayer and specific request." That word supplication, specific request. "In the Spirit." So speak in tongues. It's important that we speak in tongues. That's perfect prayer, the Bible says. Perfect prayer. It gets right to the heart of the Father. That's your direct line. You've got a direct line, like a lot of people have a direct line to the President or the Prime Minister or the Queen. She has a direct line that no one else has. We've got a direct line with the creators of the heavens and the earth. which is speaking in tongues, and watching thereunto with all perseverance, being sharp, being on the ball, and supplication specific for all saints. So we're to pray for ourselves and we're to pray for one another. This is the part of that armour. This is what helps to protect us and keep strong in the battle. Because there is a battle raging, and the battle's for your mind. And for me, Paul says, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly without fear, to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. See, we should speak boldly. We're not timid people because we got the Spirit of God. Timidity is fear. And, you know, I'm shy. No, that's fear. We don't have to have fear because we haven't got a spirit of fear. And when we got the word of truth in our heart, we have faith. And then we give a voice to that faith. We say what God says. See, that's the power and authority. Just remember who you are. Authority is released through your actions and your words. So in Luke chapter 9, I just want to look at a couple more records here. Luke chapter 9, verse 1 and 2. It says, then he called, this is Jesus Christ, his 12 disciples together. So there was Jesus, he had his little fellowship together, 12 people, right? And he called his 12 disciples together, what for? To give them instruction. And it says, and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. You have that now. You have that same power and authority. The same power that raised Jesus Christ up from the dead is dwelling in you. And you have that same authority like he gave to his disciples there. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. That's what we're to do. We're to the gospel, okay, is the good news about God, his son Jesus Christ, and everything that the word of God says to us today, right? That's what we're to tell people. We can help people in their situations. And he said, and he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. We help people in their difficulties of life. We have the authority to help them, to get them to a point where they can stand upon the word themselves. Matthew 10, 1 says, and when he called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power, authority. This word power is authority. Against unclean spirits, to cast them out, and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. And then verse 7 of Matthew 10 says, and as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Verse 8, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils, free you have received, free you have forgiven. What do they freely receive? The authority to do it. And we can give it out freely. Right, so know who you are. Know what authority you have. You're seated at the right-hand side of God in Christ Jesus. Greater is he that's in you than he that is in this world. The scriptures I have previously read. 2 Corinthians 2:11 says, least Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. God doesn't want you to be void of... This word ignorant means to be void of understanding. Right, God doesn't want you to be void of understanding that how Satan operates, how he uses his devices. Like in Ephesians 6, it says about the methods of the devil, the wiles of the devil, which is his methods. God wants you to know your enemy. He wants you to know how the enemy works, how he's attacking the mind. Right, if he can't attack your mind, he attacks your body, so that attacks your mind. It's all about the thoughts. It's all about where your thinking is. And that's why we're cast down those imaginations, the things that come against us and says you are nothing. This word of God is a load of rubbish. It's just a way to get you under control. You know, some people have these types of thoughts, right, about God and the Bible. But this word is real, it's living, it's quick, it's powerful. And it cuts rule, it gives light, it gives direction, it gives understanding. It gives you a direction in life and it leads you to God. That you can really go to God and have a relationship. It's from your relationship with God, based upon understanding what God's word says to you. You can go and have that relationship with him through Jesus Christ. Romans 5:17 says, for if by one's man offence, Adam, death reigned by one, so death came into the world through the fall of Adam, much more they which received an abundance of grace, the favour of God, and the gift of righteousness, which is right standing with God, shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. We're to reign in life by Jesus Christ, by knowing what the word of God says, knowing where the attacks come from, knowing that we have authority above them, and staking our claim on the word of God. Can you see? That's how we're to reign. So the challenges will come. It doesn't matter how hot you are as a believer, they will come. But when you know who you are in Christ, when you know your authority, when you know that your authority is released by your words and your actions, then when you line up with that and do it, then you're going to start seeing great results. Devils are scared. They don't want you to know your authority. So if they can trick you out to have doubts and unbelief, they will. Because the battle is right between your ears. And also 2 inches beneath your nose, your mouth, is either going to put you over or under. It all depends what you fed in your heart. What you put in there is going to be coming out of your mouth. If you're watching all the television and what the latest trends are, you're going to be speaking about that. Like if we watch sport, I like boxing. And so I watch a lot of boxing and I talk about boxing a lot. But I try to incorporate it with the Word of God as well, you know, to show you the principles of things. Romans chapter 8, 1. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation, no sickness, no poverty, no lack, no fear, no worries, none of that condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. If you've got the Spirit of God, you're in Christ Jesus. And the rest of the verse is not there, it's not in the text. It says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of death. So when a believer is saying and acting upon the Word of God, knowing who they are in Christ, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, which is freedom, authority, using their access to God, enjoying this life that God's given. You know, that's the life, you know, the success. All the good things are wrapped up in the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. The promises of God are activated in your life. God can really do some great stuff in your life. Okay, but when we're reacting to the problems, the situations, listening to the voice of the enemy through the systems of the world, then that law and sin and death kicks in, which the problems come, the sickness, the lack. So we got to stay stake to the Word of God. You stake your life on the Word of God. What are you staking your life on? I ask this to everyone. What are you staking your life on? Is it half and half? Are you doing a bit of the Word, a bit of the world, flirting here, flirting there? Are you serious? You've got to be serious, because the devil's serious. And if the devil's serious, that's our enemy. We have to be serious if we want to be successful. Like with anything in life, we see the successful athletes, the successful competitors in this world, they are focused, they're committed to their sport, they're positive, they see themselves as champions, they become champions. We have to see ourselves the same way spiritually. So this is what I wanted to share. So God bless you.